Tomorrow morning, when you get up and you face a new day, God would have you standing in that justifying grace. I remember that blessed morning that I woke up after being justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And there I was, a brand new baby Christian, and the witness of God's Spirit was upon my heart, and I was standing there, not guilty! We are encouraged to stand in this justifying grace every day of our life. Consider with me the ongoing nature of justifying grace. It's not something back there that happened to me, but it's something that I need every day of my life. I must stand in justifying grace every day of my life. We are to live a life of ongoing repentance. And when you live a life of ongoing repentance, there is joy in justifying grace every day. Number two, this justifying grace gives us a safe place to stand and face our needs. Justifying grace. How am I accepted in the sight of God? I am accepted based on what Jesus Christ has done for me. Now that's a safe place to stand and look at all my needs. Do you have needs in your life this morning? You know, if we do not understand the nature of justifying grace, sometimes we don't want to look at our needs. Sometimes it makes us feel bad. Sometimes it makes us feel sad. Sometimes we get discouraged when we think about looking at our needs. We shouldn't get discouraged when we look at our needs. Do you think because you're looking at your needs that God is frowning at you? No, God is smiling at you. I don't know if you believe that, but you think about it. A safe place to stand and face my needs. There's no greater motivation unto sanctification and holiness of life than to realize that God accepts right where I am today. No greater motivation. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says these words to the Ephesians. He said to them, He has made you accepted in the Beloved. He has made you accepted in the Beloved. Who? How? Beloved? Yes. You are part of the Beloved. He has adopted you. You are a son. You are a daughter. Oh, how can I be in the Beloved? Justifying grace. Justifying grace. Don't forget that. There is a tendency, a natural tendency in man and woman, after God has been so good to us to save us by His grace, and we know there's nothing that we could do, and we know we did nothing for it, except we cried out in faith. We were like that man stumbling through those tents, and he looked up at that serpent, and his whole life was changed right there. We know that's the way it was, but there is a nature and a tendency in us from that point forward to think, oh, now God is not happy with me. Oh, I see a need. God must not be happy with me. I just saw another need. Oh, God is not happy with me. That's not true. That's only true if you see that need and God shows it to you and God shows it to you again and you say, I'm not going to deal with it. then I would say, yes, God is not happy with you. But if God shows you something in your life, He's not unhappy with you. You're His boy. It's a safe place to stand and look at your needs. Think about it. Quite a bit of difference, isn't it? Somehow you could see. While you are seeing your needs, and we do see our needs, life unrolls lots of challenges to us. And in those challenges, we do see our needs. But God doesn't want us to despair because we have seen our need. He is still looking down on us and saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To the sincere believer, God is not frowning at you because He sees your need. He's not frowning at you because He's showing you a need. He's not standing there with a stick saying, come on, you better straighten up. That's not what God is like. Unless, of course, God shows you the need and you say, I'm not going to look at it. And God comes again and tries to show you and you say, I'm not going to look at it. Yeah, then, maybe God is frowning at you. But to the sincere believer, listen to me, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. No condemnation! Just the Father reaching out His hand and putting on your head and saying, go this way, my son. Go this way, my daughter. I'm for you. Keep going. I love you. I'll change you. Open your heart. I'll sanctify you. I know. I've seen your need. I want to change it. I'm glad you're looking at it. That's the way God is looking at you. Oh, it's a safe place to stand. It really is. It's a safe place to stand. You look up into the face of your Father. Even when you did something wrong, you can look up into the face of your Father and know that He's not frowning at you like, oh, you bad person. No, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, but just sweet, loving conviction. And there's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. Another beautiful word for conviction is convincing. Sweet, loving convincing by God. Justification is the only and powerful shield against the accusations and condemnations of the devil. Justification is the only shield for accusation and condemnation from the accuser of the brethren. There is no other shield. Listen, if you get this thing in your mind that you've got to be so-so and such-such and so good and so right and so much this and that, or you can't deal with the enemy, he will beat you profusely. We cannot stand under the onslaughts of the enemy nor his accusations except by justifying grace. I mean, all you have to say to that old smutty face is, not guilty! But oh, how many times we let him beat us and accuse us and drive us. And yes, even sometimes he'll come along and trip us up and then beat us. Look what you did. That wasn't God. God doesn't talk like that. But the devil will trip us up and then come in and accuse us. He is the accuser of the brethren and he beats God's people with his accusations. But oh, what a beautiful shield of faith. Remember the Bible talks about a shield of faith. Here comes the fiery darts of the wicked one. Look what you did. Justified by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I love God with all my heart. Okay, yes, I failed. But But God forgives me. I'm washing it away in the blood of Christ. Get away from me. This is the nature of justifying grace. You see, it's not just for me, that sinner back there 35 years ago. Justifying grace is one of the most powerful protective weapons in the armor of Jesus Christ. We resist the devil on the grounds of Christ's righteousness, not our own. Amen? And by the way, he knows a whole lot about Christ's righteousness. And if you try to throw any of your own righteousness up there and try to resist him that way, he will laugh at you. Because he knows there's a big gap between the righteousness of Christ, the Holy Son of God, and the best that you can come up with, even by the Spirit of God in your heart and life. Justifying grace is the basis of our initial and continual fillings of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Those Jews back there, Brother Mel read the scriptures there this morning. They cried out, Peter preached a sermon to them, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Oh, gift? Gift! Yeah! Not something that you work for. The gift of the Holy Ghost. How did God give the Holy Ghost to all of those people? Were they all perfect that day? No way. They repented as best they knew for the life that they had been living, and they believed on the justifying grace of Jesus Christ, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit and the promise of the Father. Justifying grace keeps us in that place where we can receive continual fillings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about going out and living a fleshly life. I'm talking about a sincere child of God who wants to do right. Preface it with all with that. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Based on what? Based on Christ. We surely can't come on our own merits. Justifying grace is the basis and motivation for a life of service. It is the basis and only motivation for a life of service. Think about it. Here I am. Forgiven. Justified. Touched by God. Not because of anything that I've done, but simply according to His mercy. He washed me with the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Paul said it this way in Romans 12. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, or shall I say, because of the mercies of God, I beg you, brethren, sisters, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now I want you to note something here. Paul has just finished all these chapters in the book of Romans. You know what he's been talking about? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The saving gospel of Christ. He's been laying it all out there and showing it so clearly that it's not by anything that we've done, but it's already done in Christ. And we need to believe that. We need to believe by faith and yield ourselves to God. And here he says, "I beseech you, because of the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. It is the foundation and motivation of fruitful service for God. You know, it takes that service for God and makes it get to and not have to. I want to serve God. Why? Because I'm accepted in the Beloved. Why? Not because of anything I did. It's what Christ has done. There are many more scriptures here that I just can't read because of time. Justifying grace is the basis and motivation of evangelism. Think about it. It is the motivation and basis of evangelism. Think about it. God justifies the ungodly who believe in Jesus Christ. Let's go tell them. It's the good news. Let's go tell them. God justifies the ungodly. That's good news. Yeah, it's true. You will find some ungodly out there who won't want to listen. But I know by my own experiences, you will also find ungodly out there who are longing for something real. And to them, it'll be good news. Number 7, justifying grace keeps you in your place. In need of a Savior every day. Amen. Justifying grace keeps you in your place. Humble and broken before God. How can this be that all of this was done for me? How can this be that all of this is given to me because of Christ? And not because of me. All that does is bring the heart low and make us humble and keep us in our place continually. Number 8, and I'm moving through them here now. Justifying grace is the basis and motivation to receive others where they are and patiently forbear as they grow. Amen. Justifying grace. I mean, look what God has done for me. Now I'm going to be hard on you. Come on, why don't you get with it? Why don't you straighten up? Justifying grace is the basis by which we accept other people and receive them the way they are. You know, if our theology starts, how do I say it, skewing a bit. Yeah, I just say it, just skewing a little bit. And just like our sister Sevilla, just starts moving down this works thing, this do, rather than done. If it starts moving that way a bit, then pretty soon we start thinking, it's what I've done. It's what I've done. Why don't you do it? It's what I've done. Why can't you do it? It's what I've done. Why aren't you changing? And this kind of mentality begins to work in the mind and the heart. And pretty soon, looking down, you got a judgmental attitude. I don't even think they're Christians. And all those kind of things start moving in. Justifying grace is the basis and motivation of receiving others. And I don't mean just receive anybody in all their wickedness. I'm talking about receiving sincere people who have been born again. Amen? You know, could you receive me 35 years ago? If I came in here and sat down on the bench with my hair down here like this? God is accepting you and blessing you, and look at all the needs in your life. He is accepting you and blessing you. And look at all the needs in your life. Number 9, and we're almost done here. What about prayer and supplication and intercession? We bring our petitions to our God based on the blood of Christ and His justifying work on Calvary. We don't come to God in prayer saying, okay, Lord, you know how I've lived this week, and you know how I this, and you know how I that. That's not how we come to God in prayer. But the way has been made open through the veil, that is His flesh. Hebrews chapter 10 says, justifying grace is the basis of prayer. Remember Daniel's prayer? He said, Lord, I don't come to You on our righteousness, but I come to You based on Your mercy. And that's the way it should always be. There's blood on the mercy seat, brothers and sisters, and that's why we can come to God. There's blood on the mercy seat, and that's why we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Think about it. Think about your own life, your own needy life. Where does such boldness come that you could fall on your knees and just start talking to God? It's justifying grace. It is the righteousness of Christ which has made the way open for us that we can come with a sincere heart and bring our petitions up before God. It's never going to change. Justifying grace is a strong and stable foundation to face persecutions. It is a strong and stable foundation to face persecutions. Listen to Paul giving his own testimony in Romans chapter 8, which, by the way, he was persecuted a lot. He had lots and lots of persecutions and trials and accusers and misunderstandings and liars and false accusations and beatings and all those things. But listen to what Paul said in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Whoa! If God be for us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You see what Paul is doing there? He's facing his persecutions, and he's facing his persecutors with justifying grace. God is for me. What else matters? I remember so clearly in my own excommunication experience. In the Baptist church, they don't believe in excommunication, but they do excommunicate sometimes. And I remember my excommunication experience. And I kept going to the Baptist church Sunday by Sunday by Sunday after I had been put aside. And this was a big church, by the way, 7,000 people there on Sunday morning. And they're all looking at me and my wife. There they are. That's them. See them? And you could see them pointing at you. But you know what? I had been so overwhelmed with the love of God, with the justifying grace of Christ. I was so overwhelmed with the revelation that God loved me that it didn't even matter. It didn't even hurt when they were going, that's him.
Over there. See him? It didn't even hurt. Why? If God be for us, who can be against us? Think about it. God, eternal God, omnipotent, omniscient God, is for me. Sitting on his throne, looking down and smiling at me. Who can be against me? Nobody. Even if they cut my head off, so what? Number 11. Justifying grace is assuring grace. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, it says in Romans chapter 5 and 5. Justified, not by what I can do, but justified by what Christ has already done. Brother, sister, if Christ is the one who died for me, and his righteousness is my standing with God, then we have assurance in our heart that we have been accepted of God. Amen? And the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we have been born again. Oh, I'll never forget that first night that I laid my head down on my pillow. That night that I was born again and I laid my head back on my pillow after 6 months of striving and misery, I laid my head back on my pillow and the witness of God's Spirit said, if you died, now you'll be in heaven. And I rolled over and went to sleep. Hallelujah. Just like that. Justifying grace is assuring grace. And last, but there are many, many more. But I've given you enough to help you to see that this is not a little one to have mixed up. It affects many, many areas of our Christian life. But lastly, justifying grace is dying grace. Justifying grace is dying grace. Imagine laying on your deathbed, wondering, did I do enough? Will I make it? Where will I go? I know I'm dying. Where will I go? I hope I've done enough. Imagine laying on your bed with that kind of theology in your heart and mind. That's not justifying grace, my friend. Justifying grace can lay on his deathbed and say, I've looked at the serpent on the pole. And I'm healed. Come and get me, Lord. I'm ready to go. Amen? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Amen? Jesus paid it all. It is finished, the song says. The battle's over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conquest. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. That's justifying grace, my friend. That's justifying grace. All right. In closing, Romans 5 verse 8. Oh, and by the way, in heaven, they are still shouting, worthy is the Lamb that was slain! That's justifying grace. They're still shouting in heaven after you get there. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And they take the crowns off of their heads and do what? Cast them at the feet of the one who's sitting on the throne. Grace, 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 and that not of myself. It is the gift of God. 35 years ago and all the way up to the day I die. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. He explains, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Think about it. We were enemies, and God loved us while we were enemies. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, now that we've been reconciled, we've been brought face to face with God, not guilty, we shall be saved by His life. That's justifying grace. That pours His saving life into our lives every day. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Brother, sister, if you're here and you're not a Christian, look at the serpent on the pole. If you'll get up out of your tent, you'll make your way over there. And in your heart says, I'm in need. I need to be healed. Look at the serpent on the pole. But to all of you children of God this morning, I would say, have you lost your way? Maybe you're not resting in that justifying grace. But somehow you've picked all this thing up and you're going to make it happen on your own. Look and live. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, saith the Lord. May God bless.
I think it'd be good if we kneel for prayer. So, can we pray? Father in heaven, it's with great joy that we listen to these words that are true from Your book, Lord, that we may receive this justification by faith through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross, where He died and He shed His blood for the remission of sins, so that we, through faith, believing on Him, might receive the atonement that we read about, that we might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that we might be justified through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, what a marvelous grace, what marvelous love, what marvelous plan of faith and plan of salvation that You have brought down through Your only begotten Son. Father, we rejoice. Our hearts are full of joy in the work of Jesus Christ. Thank You for saving my soul. Thank You for working and loving me. Thank You for saving all of those who have been saved. And Lord, we pray for those who are even now wrestling or struggling with assurance of salvation. Maybe they're facing things in their life they don't know what to do with. But oh, Father, You have sent forth Your Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. You have sent Your Son to knock on the door of each heart here today. And Lord, Your word says that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him. And so, Father, I pray, if there be any who are seeking, if there be any who are not clear with the Lord, if there are any who don't know this justification by faith, Lord, would You put within them a deep yearning in the heart. Yes, so strong that they're willing to lay down their own reputation, to lay down their own pride, and acknowledge their need of a Savior. Father, we pray, look upon this congregation, look upon this meeting, and in mercy, Lord, reach out and touch the souls that are seeking and searching for You, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for working in our hearts. You surely have come to us. Now it's up to us to respond. Father, I say that I love You and thank You for speaking this morning to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, it's just a great joy to sit and to hear the Word of God as it is preached, as it falls upon the heart. Yes, the heart that has been sanctified, the heart that has been justified by faith. That Word of God is just a beautiful balm of grace and of God's love coming down upon the heart. Thank you, Brother Daniel, for preaching the Word to us this morning. Such a very clear gospel. Very clear gospel message. Thank you for sharing that. Is there someone that would like to give testimony to God's Word this morning? I know it's late, but we're just going to take some time. Is there anyone who would like to share something?
I would just like to thank the Lord for the message this morning and thank Him for justifying me through His grace, for showing me that, again, that it's not my works, it's not anything that I can do, it's only through Him that I can do any works anyway, and they're all for Him and all for because of Him. I just want to thank the Lord for salvation. Thank you, Brother Denny, for that message. And pray for me that I continue to walk in the grace of God and to remember Christ's justification for me and to look on others through the same light. Thank you. Lord bless you all.
And God bless you.
I want to praise the Lord for the message also. Yesterday my wife and I met with you and with Mel. I had no idea what kind of meeting we were going to have, and maybe you didn't either. But as you, Emmanuel, as you noticed something in my life that kind of surprised me. But it was definitely the Lord putting His finger on my heart. And then today, this message especially, it was such a washing. Such a washing.
Amen.
And I just praise the Lord for that. Such a washing of the Word today. Thank you.
And I also just praise God for the message, and I thank you, Brother Denny, that you allowed God to work through you. This is a message that I always wanted to hear. I have heard it now for a year. I have believed it, and I praise God, and I pray that this message would reach. Could we live our lives? I'm very challenged this morning to live my life justified, that people can see that there's something like a justified life. And I there's many hearts that are longing to understand justification. So can we pray that God would send His Spirit into this community?
Amen.
Justification.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you, brother.
I was also deeply challenged by the message this morning, and my heart's overwhelmed, not knowing where to stop and start. But during the testimony, when the sister shared about trusting in her own salvation, tears just came to my eyes, and I realized that I don't know why that's such a challenge for me, to just want to keep my fingers peeled loose of that thing, but just somehow it's difficult for me to not want to grab a hold of something that I can tangibly somehow hang on to. But Brother Denny, as I was hearing your message here this morning, my mind went back to the 15 years, now been almost 10 years ago, that those 15 years ended, that I was dealing with depression, and at times this deep, dark despair, and just plagued with suicide, just incredibly. And yet through that, you know, the voice of the accuser was more real in my life in those days than I couldn't even hardly hear the Spirit of God. But somehow there was something. I was so plagued in those days, and the accuser was coming to me and saying, witnessing, don't pray today. You know you're not on praying ground. It would be better to just not pray at all. You won't live this day out. And yet, I didn't know where to go, and I was, God, I don't know. I don't know. I know I'm not on praying ground, but I don't know where else to go. I was just reaching out, just crying out to the Lord, and just saying, Lord, I need you. I'm trembling. I don't know where else to turn. I know I'm not right with you. I was down on my face and just crying and doubting as I was praying. But I was so overwhelmed by the love of God this morning. You know, He heard me. He heard me back then. Above the voice of the accuser, somehow or the other, God lifted me out of that. And praise God, I'm free today. I'm free. There's victory if somebody is struggling in the deepest, darkest sin. We heard it this morning as clear as day, and I'm living testimony of that. I never believed that I would stand to see this day, that I could live a normal life again. But somehow or the other, God saw fit, even though I didn't see myself at all. I didn't see my worth before God and all that, but somehow I kept telling God, maybe I shouldn't be praying to you. Maybe I will be condemned for this. But I don't know where else to go, God. It's only you. And I just kept on just believing, as it were, on that serpent on the pole. And I believe miracles still happen because my whole life is a testifying of that miracle. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thought of the illustration that has happened. I've seen it happen in the counseling room, where a young teenager would come and maybe this would be during Bible school, and would say, would respond to an altar call and a good, clear salvation message, and would come, and then the words would be, I got saved last year, I thought I did, but now tonight I'm not sure about, you know, whether I got saved or not. And I just want to make sure that I did it right. So the request was, let's go through this again to make sure that I do it right this time. And all I needed to do was look at that person and say, you never can do it right. You never can do it right. Jesus did it right. And we just need to believe that He did it right. Jesus did it all right. He was perfect and He finished the work. He finished the work. And you cannot add to it. But human nature wants to do something. Human nature wants to add to it. But you can't add to the salvation of Jesus Christ. It's finished. The work is done. And all you need to do is believe on Him. Like was preached this morning so freely, so clearly. Praise God.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.